would hedge them in. And he said that you will, he just named what they go through. He said they'd eat their own young. And that's what they did there in Jerusalem for the year of war that they were besieged before the city was destroyed. But he said, I set before you this day good and evil, good and evil. And he said, you may have the good of the land and live if you obey, but if you hearken not unto my words and disobey, then he said, I set before you evil and death. It was a long time before it ever came to a culmination, but it come when the Messiah came. Jesus said that the judgment from righteous Abel, the blood of righteous Abel down to this present generation, shall the vengeance of it shall fall on this generation. It doesn't mean there wasn't some vengeance on those in a generation between, in the time in between. They all received their judgments day by day. But then there's a time when a nation's, when the cup of iniquity becomes full. And he said in times when Israelite would go out to war, in some cases they would not destroy the enemy utterly. He says, for the cup of iniquity is not yet full. So the Lord is long-suffering and forbearing to his people and gives him numerous times to repent that he might not receive the wrath of God. But by his marvelous grace, what can we say? Why, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's the grace of God that rescues the sinner from his lost and ruined condition, from his state of rebellion, his hard-headedness and stubbornness. And what will the flesh do when it's left to itself? The Lord said, you will not come to me that you might have life. And so, beloved, just when and where this takes place is a great mystery. But when deliverance comes, that we know about and that we experience. And that's when deliverance came for me. It was when I was 30, full 30 years old. And when, if I've ever been quickened, when I was quickened, I couldn't tell you. But it's obvious to me that it had been done a long time before, because my conscience had been bothering me for years and for years. And yet I went on, designed and determined to have my own way and to satisfy my own appetites and passions. As the apostle says, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Apostle James refers to the same things. And he says that he that is a friend of the world is not a friend of God. And so then, the world in this case is not the created world. I don't think there's anything wrong with God's creation. It's the people that's in it. It's what makes the turmoil and the tumult and the strife and the wars and the shedding of blood and these things. It's a world that's been created by this light, this intellect that's fallen into the bondage of sin, become a slavery to sin. And therefore, the scripture says that we are led about by the devil, by Satan at his will, because we love sin. And because we love sin, we are easily led off into sin. And the devil is like a roaring lion going up and down upon the earth, seeing whom he may devour. And beloved, that is his great delight. The demons that was in the man that was wouldn't wear any clothes and dwelt among the tombs and cut himself with the rocks and was like a wild man. It said that they had bound him with ropes and with chains, and he would break them and go back among the tombs. But when he saw Jesus and the demons that were in him said, we know who thou art, Jesus, thy Son of God. If thou come to torment us before our time, and if thou castest us out, suffer us to go into this herd of swine. And he said, go. And they went into the herd of swine, about 2,000 of them, and they ran down into the river there, or the ocean, or the Mediterranean Sea, whatever it was, and was drowned. And so there are many demons in this epistle right here. The apostle John warns his little children. He said, little children, after that, well, he says, just let me read it to you. Behold, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And that is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And it just goes on. The apostle, in the simplest of terms, speaks about the love of God. But we make things so complicated because of our appetites for the things of this world. We make excuses and we rationalize. And if we can just, get a little bigger house and a little better car and a little better job and get a little bit higher up on the rung of society, we'll put these things back over us. Seeking the kingdom of heaven and those things that are first, should be first, we'll put them last many times. And by doing so, the man, he says, that would obtain riches or be rich in this world has pierced himself through with many arrows. And have we not seen that? And many of us experience the same things. We'll put behind us the testimony of the Spirit in our souls and go after the things of the world instead of the things of God. There are many spirits out in the world, this apostle says, and many, he says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they are of God. And certainly that is the spirit that witnesses and testifies of Christ. That is the sum and substance of the gospel, that God sent his Son, his only begotten Son, into the world for our sins. That's the sum and substance of it. And the world of the creature that's made after the image of God, this world of light, the intellect that's above the animal's world, it's a world of morals. It's a world of right and wrong. It's a world that the intellect has to choose. It's a world in which we serve God or we serve mammon. We can't serve them both, he says. We got to serve one or the other. And so then man, in his weakness and because of sin, is easily led off after the devil. Even the Lord's children are led into. And that's the ones that the devil is after. I wouldn't think he'd be concerned about those that are of the world and in the world and love the world, and the world is theirs and they are the world's. I don't think the devil is much concerned about them. Are the ones that he wants to drag down. Those that testify about God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, the great three-in-one God, the God that created the heavens and the earth, and the God that man has to be accounted for. That's where the rebellion comes in. Man does not want to be accountable to God. He despises authority, and he will not have this authority to rule over him. That is the sum and substance of rebellion, of the angels that left their habitations, and of man when he sinned. But where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I would want to end on that. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And regardless of the strivings of man and of men in the world, the grace of God will bring his own home. If there's one lost, he'll leave the 99 until he finds the one that's lost, and he'll put him on his shoulder and bring him home safe within the fold. And that we can be assured of. There might be many ups and downs. Joseph's brethren sold him into slavery. We don't have it wasn't because of Joseph's hard-headedness that it's recorded, because Joseph was a type of Christ, and it wasn't any sin laid to his wrongdoing. It was his brothers that sold him, and it was Christ's brothers that sold him into be crucified, because it was for our sins that he died. It was for our iniquities that he came into the world, that he might redeem us. And so Joseph then was a type. And Joseph, when his brothers came in, said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. In this evil that you've done, he sent me down here, and he exalted me above all of the people of Egypt, that he might save the wheat and the corn, that might be bread for millions, no doubt of hundreds of thousands of people that might have died in the poverty, if Joseph hadn't interpreted that dream and they stored up silos full of corn for many years. So God is able to bring good out of evil. And I would record that though I left home when I was 15 because me and my dad couldn't get along, mostly because of my hard-headedness, and I admit that. But God is forgiven. God suffers his little children, or gives them, grants them repentance. And I went home and told my dad that I was sorry for all the troubles that I'd caused him. And my dad came up here and lived when he was sick with cancer, and died in our living room, our front living room. My wife and I took care of him. And he told me, he said, "Son, I'm sorry. I didn't spend more time with you." And me and my father died. We were at peace with God. We were at peace with one another. And I done never held a grudge since him, after the Lord granted me repentance. I'll have to say, I sure did before, because I was a man of stubborn and hard-headed. But God forgave me of my sins, and he gave me forgiveness. I forgave my father. If I felt like it, he had beat me unmercifully. But I had called for it. And he granted my father repentance. He told me he was sorry. And we died in peace. And so what we meant for evil, God meant it for good. And he's able, beloved, he's able to bring peace and love and harmony where there once was strife and envy and hate. He's a God of peace. He suffered in our room instead, that he might be the God of peace. Apostle Paul said, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, work in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight." And beloved, that's what we would say. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Though we strive, and though we run, and though God suffers us to do many things, yet he is working out his own will and his pleasure here in the earth, and he'll bring us safe home if we're his. Many things. It said the Lord himself learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And he was without sin. And how much must we suffer, sinners like us, in order to learn obedience? What a merciful God we have. And may he bless his precious word to his dear children, that we might walk humbly before him. What doth the Lord require of thee, O man, but to walk humbly, to love mercy, and to do justly here in the world? That should be our business. Be content with such things as we had. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness first, and let the everyday things of this world take care of themselves day by day. Let us be careful to seek the simple joys of life and to love one another, to serve our God, and to go out of this world into eternity praising and singing him, for which we'll do forever and forever if we're his. May God add his blessings to his word. We publish the doors of the church open for the reception of members. What shall we sing, brethren? Page 12. Sing, brethren, when you're ready.
God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea. He rides upon the
friends, we brought out lunch. We invite everybody to stay and to eat with us and to fellowship. fellowship with us while we eat, if you possibly can. Are there any other announcements?
Might announce that singing at the Primitive Baptist Library on Saturday before the 5th Sunday. Saturday before the 5th Sunday, singing at the Primitive Baptist Library. And also the next 2nd Sunday meeting will be our communion day.
Yes, and we, Brother Kirby had promised to be with us, and Elder Walker, and Brother Kirby took the church, I believe it's Ebenezer Church, for the 2nd Sunday. They didn't have a pastor, and they persuaded him to take an appointment. I don't think the pastor just had an appointment there, so he will not be with us on the 2nd Sunday. Elder Walker and Elder Duggins is with Brother Langham, Saints to Light, today in that communion meeting. Brother Duggins had said before he promised he had was thinking about going somewhere else. I told Brother Walker to speak with him today to see if maybe he could come. So either way, Brother Walker's planning to come. The Lord willing, he and I will be here, and later Elder Duggins. If not, we'll do the best we can with what we've got. And I know what you call this preaching today or not, with all this my experience. But anyway, the Lord being our helper, we'll do that next time. And we'll try to continue to preach the unsearchable riches of our Lord and our Savior. Are there any other announcements? If not, bow with us and we'll ask the Lord to dismiss us. Most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again to be by thy presence, which I will thank thee for thy loving kindness and grace and thy providential and thy providence, and not only that, but in the kingdom of God and the church here in the world. We thank thee, our Father, for the mercy, grace, and power of God towards us, and all purpose through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee again for the church here in Greensville. We thank thee, dear Lord, for thy kingdom here in the world and the light of the heart God has given us in. And now, Father, we take part in him. We pray that God will go with each and every one that is here as we go our several ways. Be our light in darkness and our strength in greatness, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.